The Raptors doing a lot of this without DeMar DeRozan. So you have to think when he gets back, could be even better. Not sure how much, considering the 22-7, but you never know. Josh Lewenberg from TSN 1050 joins us. Josh, I guess quickly, update us on DeMar DeRozan. What's the ETA on his return?
Really no update, Jason. I mean, it's sort of bizarre how we haven't heard a whole lot more since he went down. Now, the good news is he has been back on the court to some extent before and after games, after practices, kind of doing some core exercises, strengthening the groin, as well as shooting some set shots and free throws, but still no contact in practices, no cutting, no movement on the court. It could still be a little while. There's no timetable for his return, and I wouldn't expect to see him here on this 5-game road trip. Maybe mid to late January is a more realistic expectation, but that's just speculation at this point.
Now, because they're 22-7, there's no reason to rush him back. And when we talk groin injuries, especially for basketball guys, like, I think they've got to err on the side of caution. Do you think they will?
Right, and absolutely they will. They have up to this point. And as you mentioned, they really haven't needed him against some of the teams that they've been playing this month. Yesterday's game against Chicago is only their third game against a winning team. They did well, even without him, against the losing clubs, winning six in a row. But, I mean, last night you kind of noticed his absence more than maybe you have before, especially down the stretch. Chicago doing a good job of getting to the line. Of course, the Raptors missing DeMar's ability to do the same. And Kyle Lowry, as excellent as he was down the stretch, he was sort of stuck on an island doing it alone, missing his backcourt partner in DeRozan. So this is going to be the challenge now that the Raptors go out on the road. They play some of the best teams in the NBA. You mentioned the Warriors earlier. The Blazers are in there, the Suns. So this is going to be a tough stretch here, and I think they're going to miss DeRozan now more than ever.
Josh Lewenberg from TSN 1050 joins us, talking about the Toronto Raptors. We know about the Kyle Lowrys and the Terrence Rosses, Josh, but Lou Williams was brought in the offseason from Atlanta. He had, I believe, 12 points last night. How is Lou Williams fit with the Toronto Raptors this season?
That was a bit of a tough one for him last night, and that's one of the ways where you miss DeMar DeRozan. Without DeMar in the game, the Bulls' lockdown perimeter defender, Jimmy Butler, who's having an excellent season, he spent most of his time on Lou Williams, and his length really bothered Lou, I thought. But in terms of consistency, there hasn't been many players on the Raptors that are doing it night in and night out the way that Lou Williams is. And the way that he does it is creativity on the offensive side of the ball. He's always been excellent in getting to the free throw line, in kind of making something out of nothing on the offensive end. And that's sort of the dynamic that he's given to this team off the bench. This was a strong second unit even before the Raptors made that trade for Lou. I think Patrick Patterson has been excellent. Gravis Vasquez has had his moments this year as well. But Lou Williams has not only been the sixth man on this team, but might be the sixth man in the NBA. Probably would get my vote through the first third of the year.
Josh Lewenberg from TSN 1050 joins us. I want to ask you about Bruno Capocollo. Hasn't seen a lot of action so far with the Raptors. Obviously, this is his first year, but he got into a game, I believe, earlier this month. It was a blowout game. In the small spurts you've seen Capocollo, what have you thought of him so far?
Yeah, he's made three brief appearances, and it's so hard to get anything out of him. He's playing short 1-3 minute stretches in garbage time, and of course he's playing against bench guys on the other team once the game is over. So it's hard to get a read out of how far he is in the process of that learning development stage that he's in this season. But the one thing that you have to like, and this is something that I noticed from him going back even in summer league and in the preseason when he was playing more, he really shows no fear out there. He's a smart player even for his age at 19. I don't think he forces it too much, but he doesn't really care who he's going up against, what the situation is. He's active, he's aggressive, he's involved in the game. And because of that wingspan and that athleticism that he has, it allows him to make an impact almost immediately on defense, despite the fact that he's still learning, still getting stronger. That quickness and that length allows him to make up for a lot of mistakes. So, again, this year is all about learning. It's all about off the floor, getting stronger, getting more comfortable with the language. And he's doing that. I mean, even speaking to him in the locker room from time to time, you notice that he does have a better grasp of the language now than he did back in the summer when the Raptors drafted him. So that's what it's all about. I wouldn't expect to see him playing significant, meaningful minutes anytime soon. I mean, even right now, DeMar DeRozan out, Landry Fields out, the Raptors are choosing to go small and use other guys before playing Bruno Caboclo. So they're going to stay the course with him and Lucas Nogueira, the two rookies, and they believe strongly that by doing this, he'll be a factor on this team in a year or 2 years from now.
Josh Loewenberg joins us. Josh, Kyle Lowry, of course, has stepped up his play and, you know, has twice as many points as anyone else on the team, while excluding Valanciunas. Valanciunas last night had the most shooting attempts he's had in the first half, you know, had 16 points at the half. Are you starting to see the evolution in his game, or is it just, you know, when DeMar DeRozan comes back, he won't be as much of a factor, or is he showing you that he can be more of a factor even when DeRozan comes back?
Well, he hasn't really been that much of a factor in terms of the shot attempts up until last night, and of course a career-high 18 shots in that game against Chicago, so that was good to see, but I still think it's a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde situation with Jonas Valanciunas, where you don't really know which version you're going to get night in and night out. A lot of that has to do with confidence, and he's playing with a lot of it right now. I think he has stepped up his game without DeMar DeRozan, but a lot of that has come on the defensive end and on the boards as much as it has offensively. I think that's the key for him. We've seen him kind of in and out of the lineup, especially in the fourth quarter down the stretch when Dwayne Casey prefers to go with some smaller big men. But that's what's going to keep him on the court. If he continues to rebound the ball, set screens, play defense, I think he'll be on the floor long enough to be able to grow on the offensive side. So I do think that there's been some progression in those areas over the last few weeks, and that has resulted in more playing time. In the case of last night, more shot attempts.
Josh, getting away from the Raptors on the more NBA in general, what'd you make of the Pistons waiving Josh Smith with still a lot of money and a couple of years left on his contract?
It was bizarre. It was a bold move, certainly not something that we expected, but the pieces to that puzzle were not fitting. It had been a disastrous couple of years since the Pistons went out and they signed Josh Smith. They traded for Brandon Jennings. There's talent there, but they haven't come together. So this was a bold move by Stan Van Gundy. That's why he was brought in to make moves like this, to make tough decisions like this. And similar to what we saw with the Raptors and Rudy Gay around this time last year, the Pistons are probably better off without Josh Smith. So by using the stretch provision, you save some money stretching out his salary over the next few seasons, and you rebuild. You don't have much choice at this point. I mean, ultimately, if it's come to this point, you would imagine they've kind of exhausted the trade market for him and have learned that there's probably not a whole lot or anything out there for Josh Smith. I still think he's a good player, and it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I think Houston is probably the best fit for him. He's good friends with Dwight Howard, and I think he'd actually make a good complement to Howard in Houston's front court. As for the Pistons, they're deep in the rebuild process, and they're just one of those other Eastern Conference teams that present an opportunity for the Raptors. They're not in their division, but in addition to the Celtics, who we saw earlier this week trading Rajon Rondo and a lot of these other clubs, they're nowhere close right now to being at a competitive level.
One last one for you, Josh. When you look at the Raptors in the Eastern Conference, you know, you see Atlanta is right behind them. Cleveland likely going to be coming on strong. Washington, Chicago. Who do you find is the worst matchup for the Raptors of the good teams, and which one do you think they match up best against?
I think it's Chicago in terms of the worst matchup, and now we've seen in a couple games this season they've lost both of them against the Bulls. Last night, Chicago did to the Raptors what the Raptors have been doing to a lot of teams this year. The Bulls got off to that slow start, but they're good enough, I think, to flip on the switch in the second half. That's what they did, kind of crushing them in the third quarter in that first meeting, holding them without a point for 7 minutes in the third quarter last night, and then scoring an absurd 49 points in the fourth quarter. I just think that they have the experience, they're battle-tested, and when they're healthy, the way that they were last night, when they have all their guys in the lineup, they're the deepest team in the Eastern Conference. It's something that's worked well for the Raptors this year, their depth, but the Bulls have it at every position with stars in the backcourt in Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose, as well as a couple of talented seven-footers in Noah and Gasol. So I really do think that when it's all said and done, they'll be at the top of the Eastern Conference. The Cavs have been tough for the Raptors as well. I think probably if you're looking at best matchup, it's been Washington and Atlanta over the last couple of years. The Raptors have done a good job against them because they're similar teams. They're young, and they're kind of trying to figure out how to have sustainable success the same way the Raptors are.
Josh, all the best to you and yours over the Christmas season. We'll talk to you next week or likely in the new year.
Thanks, Jason. Happy holidays.